comedian Brian Posehn. Besides being a comedian, Brian's also a writer, actor, and a podcaster, so that makes him a quadruple threat. Brian's first big break was as a cast member and writer of the groundbreaking HBO series Mr. Show with Bob and David. He also voiced the character of Jim Kubat on Bill Oakley's animated series Mission Hill. Brian also appeared on Comedy Central's The Sarah Silverman Show and had a recurring role on The Big Bang Theory. I could go on and on about his credits, but if I did, we'd have to cut the interview short. Brian's latest project is a comedy special called Posehn Non Grata. It was recorded at the Beat Kitchen in Chicago. Since his special is called Posehn Non Grata, I had to find out if he actually thought of himself as an unacceptable or unwelcome person.
I just like silly puns for my special names. I've had the same manager forever, and we share a sensibility. And when I pitch a show idea to him or a special name or whatever it is, I know that I usually do it for him, and this got the chuckle I always got, like when I did the Fartist and when I did Fart and Wiener jokes and the names of my other albums, you know. So he went for it, and it stuck.
Yeah, and rightfully so, and I think it will continue to stick for years ahead because, no, it's really, it's you mentioned, said it's silly, but it is silly, but in a very smart way.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Your stand-up comedy has been described as nerdy misanthropy. Is that what you're going for?
No, I mean, that might be just who I am as an old as an old nerdy white dude. But no, that's not what I'm going for with my stand-up. It's just luckily people let me come into their homes and share it with them.
Because obviously, you know me, I'm a nerd, I'm a metalhead. Those are the things I care about, you know? So for me, the last 6 years are weird because Metallica's good again.
You're a big fan of metal. You've even recorded your own metal theme song that plays you on stage. That's Me Comedy. I love that song. What part has metal played in your life and in your stand-up?
Well, a big part. I mean, for me, it's... I'm just a music fan, you know, more than anything. And yeah, a metalhead I've been forever, but I also love all different types of music. And it's just, it's music's really important to me. I mean, I use it all the time. I get it, you know, if I'm taking my kid to school, getting myself fired up for a set, whatever, it's been a big part of me my whole life. And for me to make it part of my stand-up, it felt organic, you know, when I did it, when I started mentioning the bands I liked and when I came up with a Slayer joke. And, you know, even that, I try not to be too over the top with it because I know most people aren't that familiar with metal. I mean, I'm probably speaking to a pretty low percentage of people out there when I talk to metalheads, but you know, I feel like everybody's aware of, and like when you do a Slayer joke, you know that even if people aren't Slayer fans, they're aware of what they are and what they represent, you know.
Your love of metal led to one of the funniest sketches, in our opinion, on Mr. Show with Bob and David. We had Bob Odenkirk on, and he talked about Titanica. What did being on that trailblazing comedy show do for you and for your career?
A lot. I mean, I owe everything to those two dudes. It really got me out there, and it you know, to be a part of that show, people saw it, and the right people saw it. And, you know, sure, we're not the most famous sketch show of all time, but we're really highly regarded by people that know sketch. And, you know, it still got me on. That's how I got on Big Bang Theory, and that's how I got on Just Shoot Me, and that's how I got on all these other shows, is because the writers were fans of Mr. Show and knew that I could do what I do, you know, like knew me from there. And then also my writing career, I owe so much to them because I was in that room and it means a lot to other people that are hiring, you know?
Yeah. Do you have a favorite sketch, favorite Mr. Show sketch that you were involved in?
It's still Titanic. Still have the body. In my nerd cave right now, I'm actually looking at the David Cross little shriveled cigar body.
How did COVID and isolation affect you and your family?
Man, I probably shouldn't say this. We talk about, we feel guilty about how much we enjoyed being home solid for 2 years, just the three of us and our dogs. Like, we're a big dog family, and our dogs are happier than ever that I wasn't getting on a plane three times in a month, you know, and missing half of the month.
I come home from my first trip doing stand-up a couple months ago, and I think everything's cool. But about 6 hours later, my wife goes, "You realize you hugged the dog first today." I was like, "I didn't even think about it." And then I was like, "Yeah, but she ran at me. You just stood there at the top of the driveway with your arms crossed. I don't know, maybe be proactive."
I actually, as a traveling stand-up and somebody who's my age and has been doing it as long as I have, I kind of needed a break. Like,
mm-hmm.
I could have gone 3 years.
In your special, you talk about getting fat-shamed by your favorite TV show. What happened?
I was watching The Simpsons and Homer. I remember the episode. It's a classic episode, season 7. I think it's the Weinstein-Oakley years, I believe. And I think they even wrote the episode, but not completely sure, but Simpsons nerds could correct me and would. But yeah, Homer weighs himself, and we weighed the same that day. and like the bit wrote itself.
Then I got fat shamed by my favorite TV show. During COVID, I was just binge watching all the time, right? And I got the Disney Plus. So I watched all The Simpsons. And I was telling people it was during season 7. And then I was performing this joke in Buffalo. And a nerd yelled, "Season 8. And here's the thing about nerds. Like, if a dude can get his confidence up to yell at me from the dark, I'm going to believe that dude."
You have this very frightening story about accidentally scaring a woman who was working out in a hotel gym. Can you tell us about this?
It's, again, I am so lucky that weird stuff happens to me, because I wouldn't have an act if events didn't happen that I could just write about. And I've always said to my family, like, do something funny. So this is a true story. I was trying to lose weight, still am, or am again. But how I was doing it was working out after I got off stage. So that's late. And it was a Saturday night, and I was somewhere. I think I say Kansas City, but I'm not sure that that's true. And it's all a blur. But it was 3 years ago, and I get off stage, I go back to my room, and I might have smoked a little marijuana, and I go up to my, just put my clothes on, and I wear street clothes, and I talk about that in my act. So I already look weird, you know, I'm a huge guy, and then I'm not dressed for the gym. And the gym that I went to in the hotel really had their lights all set on a motion sensor. So the strange thing is, she was working out alone in the dark before I walked in. And then when I walked in, the lights kicked on, and this all really happened. She turns around, startled, and I actually said to a stranger, "Don't be scared." And it did not work.
I saw the panic in her face, and I actually said this out loud to a person: "Don't be scared." It didn't work. I forgot something about myself. I'm almost 6'7" when I stand up straight. And you cannot be my size. You cannot be Jason Voorhees' size and sneak up on somebody and say, "Don't be scared."
In Persona Non Grata, you have this aside about meeting Don Rickles. I'm curious if you can expand on this experience. What was it like, and what did you take away from him?
Oh, yeah. Well, so that one of the times I met him was in Chicago. So I mentioned it in the act because I'm in Chicago, and I just had that, you know, great memory of I got to perform with him at the Chicago Theater, this huge 3,000-seat theater during the Chicago Comedy Competition. Who knows what year now? Like, a long time ago. Probably close to 20 years ago now. But at any rate, it came through us being at the same agency, and my agent set it up, and then he liked me, and so I got to perform with him. Had a couple meetings with him in LA. He was an amazing guy. I was a huge, huge fan. One of my best memories is my agent calls me and goes, "Hey, we're sending Don out on a college tour, and we want you and Patton Oswalt to come in," because we were both at the same agency and we both have the same manager and still do. So it all came together that they wanted to talk to us about any advice for Don playing colleges. And we were both like, "What? That is ridiculous. Like, how could we have anything, you know, to give to him advice-wise, you know?" But we still took the meeting. Patton and I were both like, "This sounds so dumb, but let's go, and let's go meet the man," you know. It was one of the greatest hour and a half of my life. We were in the meeting for that long. We talked about a little bit about him touring. You know, my basic idea was, look, these kids will know who you are, especially, you know, at the time I was just like, show the hockey puck scene from Toy Story, do a little video, do something like that maybe before to kind of involve people, and then come out and do your material. And I go, that's all you need to do to make college kids, you know, they're going to know who you are and you're going to crush. So then we just sat and listened to him talk for an hour and a half, and it was the best day. He had a buddy who was sitting out in the other room come in just so he could make fun of him, pulled him into the office. I swear, he goes, "Look at this guy, look at his hat, look at his hair, look at his face, look at his shirt, look at his," just head to toe, ripped him, and then goes, "That's all right, now get out of here." Like, sends the guy going again. We're dying. Like, and he makes fun of us, he made fun of the way we were dressed. He told Patton and I, he goes, "Hey, if you kids come to the house, why don't you dress up, all right? You know, my wife will think you're the gardeners, like, cute kids, but where's their rake?" And we're just, like, losing it, like, crying in tears, because I love comedy. I mean, I do it for a reason, and nothing makes me laugh harder than other comedians. Like, a guy like Dave Attell or whoever it is will make me cry tears of joy.
I mean, I'm not the most famous comic in the world, but I have great memories. I've met my favorite bands. I've met musicians, people I worship. I got to meet Rush. I'm friends with the two nice guys in Metallica. I once had Rob Zombie say this to me. 16 years ago, Rob Zombie said, "Hey, you want to get shot in the face?" I'm like, "In a movie?" He's like, "Yeah, sure."
You talk about meeting a lot of your heroes throughout your career. I'm curious, who would be the next hero you'd like to meet besides Jason Momoa?
Honestly, I'd like to have a real moment with people I've met. Like, I'd love to, if I could be in a room with Rush again and actually meet Alex and Getty and just talk to them like human beings and not as a screaming fan. You know, I had a moment with them and I got to take a picture with them, but I botched it so hard. I called Getty sir twice in the sentence. And just, you know, they're my all-time favorite band. And yes, I'm a metalhead, and yes, Rush is not metal, but that's how it goes. I mean, I've spent more time alone with that band in my, you know, headphones or cranking on my sound system than any other band. And I look up to them. I look up to them as people and you know, intellectually. And I feel like you could have a real conversation with both those guys, and they both have great senses of humor. And I just feel like that that moment was trash. I mean, I was never going to, that, you know, meeting him that way was never going to be like a big, meaningful moment anyway. But mm-hmm. I'd still like to have more, you know what I mean?
Sure. Well, you've got, you know, you could set that up.
We'll see.
We could make it happen. I could try and help somehow because I'm Canadian like them. So maybe we'll figure out something.
I caught that.
Oh, you did? Very good.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been down here. I've been in Wisconsin 23 years and I can't lose the accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Brian Posehn, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on Posehna non grata. It's very funny and very Posehn-esque.
Thanks, man. Have a good one.
Brian Posehn is a comedian, writer, actor, and podcaster. His latest comedy special is called Posehna non grata. You can find out more about Brian and where to catch his special at wpr.org/beta.
Empathizing with all the characters in my book, both the good and the bad guys and gals, I think allows the reader a more immersive experience in the world that I try to create.
Coming up, one of today's best crime fiction writers, Sean Cosby, joins us to talk about the second life his debut novel is getting. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.